wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And happy Sunday, everybody. Thank you so much for being here and listening to WNRN and the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call. And thanks to those, especially today, down in Levinson's 919-947. I always love doing shows of this type because it brings forth so many questions to me that I have been always looking for good conversation, and sometimes I feel the need to a specific path that may help me follow. When we start talking about religious aspects and the help that goes along with that, but the challenge that some have with the conversation. Our guests today, Dorothy Jordan and Bob Gross, representing IMPACT, that is the interfaith movement promoting actions by congregations together. Dorothy Jordan, the co-president of IMPACT. Good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
And also, good morning to Bob Gross.
Good morning.
Thank you both so much for being here, especially during springtime. Does anybody have trouble with the pollen out there before you came in?
Not too bad.
Not too bad. My dog makes me get up and go for a walk in the morning, and for some reason he likes to go where the biggest amounts of pollen have recently fallen. All right, so IMPACT, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. And one of the biggest concerns for IMPACT, or focuses, if that's a better choice of word, has to do with social injustice, correct?
Yes.
So tell me, what is social injustice?
Well, an easy way, I think, to define it is we try to make the difference between mercy or charitable acts and justice. Many of our churches do many things that are useful, helpful in the short run. We provide food, we provide emergency shelter and things like that. Justice, social justice, is about finding out how to change things so that fewer people will need to come for emergency food. Fewer people will have short-term crises because some of the larger problems are dealt with long-term.
I always, and you can go to the IMPACT website, by the way, IMPACT, that's IMPACT, Seville.com. So ImpactSeville.com. And, Bob, we'll jump into this right away then, because I always find it challenging to think of mercy and justice as always tied together in a positive manner. Because just because you have mercy doesn't mean you have justice, and that works both ways. Just because you have followed justice doesn't mean you're being merciful. Agreed? Disagreed? Dorothy?
Well, I think it's a combination, and I think they, they work sort of hand in hand to a degree. With, as Bob stated earlier, with mercy, we're putting a Band-Aid on the situation. It temporarily fixes. For instance, if I feed someone tonight who was hungry, what is in place that they're not hungry the next night? With justice, we look to go to the root cause of the problem. Why is this situation occurring in the first place? What can we do to fix, go to the root cause and do some research to find out, okay, what can we put in place that we won't need, for example, Pochum or any of those, a clothing closet or things of that nature.
And for those who aren't aware, Pochum being a local organization that helps, especially during the winter.
Exactly.
In the winter months, provide, I know they provide dinners and food. Do they provide shelter as well during
yes,
that time
do.
Period?
So,
PACEM, if you choose to look a little bit more about them.
Dozens of churches all around the area provide about a week's worth each of shelter in their, usually in some of their congregational buildings, for groups of men and at other times for groups of women.
But again, to go back to mercy and justice, I don't always tie those together in a positive manner. If we talk about mercy being a way to help the individual or multiple individuals, and justice to be the way to solve the problem in a larger manner, more at the root cause, we can find justice to solve the major problem, but that doesn't mean we're always being merciful to many of the individuals who are being hurt by the problem, does it? Am I not understanding this properly, or is this just a personal misconfiguration? And let's start early. I am regularly told that I'm incorrect on this program, both during and after. So if I don't have that understanding properly, speak up and speak loudly.
I think sometimes we get mixed up by words. Sometimes words get in our way. I would say that if the word mercy creates some difficulty, let's use something else. Let's talk about charity. All of us in most of our faith communities and individuals who are not attached to any particular faith community do charitable acts. Mm-hmm. We give some money, we provide a meal, we help out in some important small way, and that's great. And that does help in the short run, as Dorothy said, provide somebody with a meal. That's fine. There's no contradiction between that and trying to figure out what's at the root of the problem and trying to find ways for us and for our officials, whether private agencies or public officials, to try to understand and deal with the larger societal barriers that keep us from making life a little bit better for a large number of people.
We are talking about impact today, and we'll be talking about multiple programs that Impact is involved with. There's an upcoming Nehemiah gathering, which I believe is tomorrow. We'll talk about that real quick about the Nehemiah program, Dorothy.
It's tomorrow night at the John Paul Jones Arena. It starts at 6:30.
And the goal of the Nehemiah program, for those who might be interested?
We will be speaking with our local leaders and different organizations on solutions that we have come up with for the area of homelessness and youth unemployment, dealing with adults between the ages of 18 and 30.
And when you say we, again, Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. Our guest today, Bob Gross, he's a board member of Impact, Dorothy Jordan, the co-president. When you say we, let's give people a moment who aren't currently involved with Impact. What is it? Who is it?
27 faith communities in the Charlottesville and Albemarle area, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Unitarians, and perhaps others of others as well. But nevertheless, across faith lines, this is an unprecedented coalition for justice that happens in some other parts of the country. But for our part of the world, this is unprecedented prior to the advent of Impact.
Well, continue talking about Impact and some of the missions and goals as we go throughout the hour. It is 11:09 here on WNRN's Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Bob Gross, Dorothy Jordan with me. Talk about some of the challenges, because you said, Dorothy, you used the word solutions.
Mm-hmm.
So the gathering of Impact, my understanding is, comes up with, identifies problems that members of the community, covering all the faiths that Bob just mentioned, Christians, Jews, Muslims, Unitarians, and others who choose to participate come together, identify what you, they, us feel are problems in our community, social injustices, as we started the program with, and then somehow come up with ways to solve the problems.
Correct. What we do is in the fall, we have house meetings, and this is the various congregations coming together to discuss areas that we find, you know, that keep us up at night. You know, what is bothering us? What do we see as a problem that's either affecting someone in our congregation or whether it is just somebody that, you know, we just happen to be familiar with? So we come up with all of these different problems, and then we meet again to vote on the issue that we feel is a winnable issue, meaning after we do the research, meet with the various leaders who are in the position to help us to bring this to fruition, we choose that issue, and that's what we carry forth. That's what we work on for our year.
And we're going to talk about several of those, a couple that have already been, have received a great solution to the problem. Right. I always like, I love the free dental clinic, and I want to make sure to throw that in with a little more depth in the hour. But homelessness and the youth unemployment, we're going to get to very quickly. Bob and Dorothy used the word winnable. Are there topics real quick that have come up that have been set aside because you don't feel that current situations allow them to be winnable?
I think what we try to do is we identify a very broad problem. And then in our research, and which means we talk to the people who know a lot more than we do about the particular details and trends and so on, the people who are specialists, and then we try to identify that part of the larger problem. We try to narrow it down to some smaller, manageable, definable problem that could be solved, that could be addressed and successfully solved in the relatively short term.
Our guest today, Bob Gross, he's a board member from Impact. Dorothy Jordan, she's the co-president, Impact being the interfaith movement promoting actions by congregations together. Broken down, that means that there's a variety of religious faiths come together to try and work on issues in our community that need a lot of attention.
That's correct.
Now, my research shows that Impact is made up, Bob, you said the number 27?
Yes.
Many, certainly in the 20s, are various Christian faiths, and then I believe one Muslim gathering, one or two Jewish, the Unitarian Church. Do the Christian, how do we make sure that Impact is fairly represents all beliefs? Do the Christian gatherings overwhelm what the other faiths may believe to be more important in terms of attention?
Dorothy, why don't you talk about the common stuff?
Well, first and foremost, it is a diverse body of, you know, various faith traditions. And we're within Impact, we are always respectful of each person's faith traditions. So if it is a Jewish congregant, whatever, we'll pray the Jewish prayer, or, you know, everybody is coming together to do justice, but we're not trying to overwhelm by one faith or another, if I'm understanding you correctly.
Well, I guess what I mean is if the Muslim faith believes that the problem that needing the greatest attention is, and I'm just going to pick something out, I cannot represent what other people are thinking here, but if the Muslim faith believes that the most attention is greater bus service, and the Jewish faith believes that the thing that needs most attention is greater help towards our non-native folks in our area. And the Christian faiths all seem to believe that the same problem is youth unemployment. So therefore, because of your faith, you may have a greater, there's more congregants. There are more Caucasians than there are African Americans represented in the group. So you may overwhelm by vote number. It's not a senatorial process. It's okay, more Rick, the House of Representatives process.
Okay, Rick, I've got 2 points to make, which I think will help. Mm-hmm. One is that if you think that there is one agreement in any given congregation about anything, I would ask that you reconsider that.
I don't laugh out of because I think that's funny in a negative way. It's
okay. Number two, the other important thing is that what all of the faith communities do have in common is the Abrahamic core. And all of us, I think, will agree that the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you, is a commonly held deep core belief in all of the faiths. So if you combine those two things, you can imagine that it's not exactly a simple matter to come to consensus on the one or the two issues that ought to be addressed in any given year. It takes a fair amount of wisdom, compromise, even modesty for us to get to that. So it's no small matter.
I hope that thought can be spread in a greater dimension amongst our area. Again, Sunday morning wake-up call here on WNRN. Our guests today, Dorothy Jordan and Bob Gross, with Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregation Together.
Support for WNRN today comes from Italian Villa, Charlottesville's old-school diner at Emmett and Ivy. Before the game or after church, the Villa serves a full American breakfast all day. You can find burgers and specialty sandwiches for lunch, plus weekday lunch specials and an Italian dinner menu every night. That's Italian Villa, 129 Emmett Street North.
WNRN is supported by Jefferson Theater, presenting Beats Antique with Russ Liquid Thursday, May 2nd. The California Trio creates its own psychedelic subgenre, fusing Middle Eastern vibes with dubstep and hip-hop. Zoe Jakes belly dances in various masks and exotic costumes. Tickets for Thursday's show, jeffersontheater.com.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for listening. We'll open up the phone lines if you'd like to participate, ask a few questions, make a comment about our topic today of impact and their goals in our community. 979-0919. 877-WNRN Rocks. Again, I'm Rick Moore with Dorothy Jordan and Bob Gross. Let's talk about some of the current goals or the current, what's the word that I want? The focus is currently on one of them, youth unemployment. So we know how that came to be one of the goals, the variety of congregations come together, everyone gets a vote, and then this one comes to the top. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know why you believe it's so important, because there are certainly a large percentage or notable percentage of a variety of age groups suffering from unemployment or underemployment in our area at this time. So why this age group?
Well, again, it goes back to the meetings that we have within our congregations, and this was the age group that spoke to the problem. A young lady from one of our congregations had gone all the way through high school, and she could have taken CNA classes for free through the
CNA, the
Certified Nursing Program. She could have taken that through KTAC. but was not told of this. So she's going through the program now on her own, and it was just such a costly expense for her, because she's also a single mom. And you know, as we were just talking amongst ourselves, it was not only her, but we were finding with so many other people within this age group, either had jobs, but the jobs were no longer in place. They had been, eliminated and things of that nature. So people are finding themselves in situations where either they can't afford to go and be retrained or, you know, take the college classes. So it's just trying to help this age group who needs the soft skills training, who needs, you know, they're able to do the job but need certification in order to get the job done. It's a way to help them get back out there. And it's a win-win. It's for them and for the employers, too, that in the healthcare field that we are focusing on.
We know from the people we've spoken to who are knowledgeable, we know that there are about 3,000 unemployed young adults in the Charlottesville area, in the greater Charlottesville area, and that's 14% of those are between 16 and 30. Mm-hmm. So there are thousands more who are working poor. We also find that about 80% of the jobs require some education after high school, mm-hmm. but about only one-third of young adults have any post-high school education. And the other piece of this is, we know from our research that healthcare work of one kind or another, that's the single largest piece of the economy in our region. And so it seemed important to us to try to match up all that unemployed young population with the possibility of some sort of development within the healthcare field.
Right. You don't have to be super smart like the two of you to understand that the healthcare field is growing in terms of need as the population, overall population ages. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go very far to find that the those currently filling the nursing and other positions are aging themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the fastest retiring groups. So greater need, lesser fewer providers. But when I look at this as a, do you get feedback from others outside of Impact saying, why are you focusing here? I'm feeling left out. You're picking on the youth, that you're choosing the youth age group, but you're stopping at age 30 when the problem is you can certainly go to training and be just as great of a nurse until you're 40, mm-hmm. Et cetera. Do you get any feedback of that sort?
I have not heard of anyone responding in that manner. In fact, and it's been totally the opposite. You know, people are excited that we're focusing on this age group, because this age group is the up-and-coming future. Some of them are, trying to start families or have families that they're trying to raise, but they are just not able to do family plus school and all at the same time. So, no, I have not heard anybody responding that negatively, that we're only focusing on the 18 to 30-year-old.
I think it's important to say that we are, although we think we have achieved some significant goals, we are not the answer to all of our region's mm-hmm. problems. What we endeavor to do is identify a particular defined area of need and then try to identify those agencies, those entities, those parts of government all working together that can make a long-term change. And so in this case, in this year, and in fact in these past 2 years, this is the area that seems to us and to our faith communities to be an area that requires significant emphasis. And so that's what we're trying to do.
we are talking with and about IMPACT, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. Our guest today, Dorothy Jordan. She's co-president, Bob Gross, a board member, www.impactseville.com. The tomorrow night at John Paul Jones, what time, Dorothy?
6:30.
The Nehemiah action, and you help gather to choose and meet with the area leaders on upcoming...
We present our solutions to the leaders, and we ask them to commit in public to accepting these solutions and bringing them into fruition.
And, of course, this is based on lots of conversation and discussion we have already had with the people who are coming to respond. None of what we are going to say to them will be a surprise.
Correct.
This has been very, very carefully researched and prepared, and we just want to be sure that their responses are as public and as transparent as possible.
You know, we talk about helping through the youth unemployment, but you don't have to think very far. Tell everyone who's listening that by getting someone who's 16 to 30 a more fruitful job and something that's more of a career, this floods over into being so positive in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Share that.
Well, again, it will help us to, it will take the individual who's now probably considered working poor just to get them certified and a step up into that next level of job status. It takes them, you know, it puts them to a salary where they can actually support a family, you know. So that will spill over into the community as far as when people have money, they're willing to spend a little bit more money. So it will help our economy. It will help some, you know, in the housing area, because people right now, if you're not making a lot of money, you're not going to be spending a lot of money. But it opens doors up in so many other areas.
So we know from other research that 1 year of job training or community college is the tipping point to advance someone from a low-wage, barely making a job,
mm-hmm.
to a family-supporting job. And that's what we're talking about. That's why this little bit of a push makes a big difference.
Well, and if, you know, I'm just talking off the top of my head, I don't have these written down, but what I have learned is that a higher wage job, as what we're seeming to talk about as a CNA, certified nursing assistant, et cetera, takes families, more families, out of the emergency room for their medical care. It takes their children and puts them in safer places for child care while the individual, the parent, goes to work. It takes more people off of the food stamps. I can't remember what the new name of that is.
SNAP.
SNAP, right. And it reaches to a much greater area for the family and for the community in terms of social service expenditure.
And that goes back to what we were saying earlier. When you go to the root cause of the problem, it will alleviate the need for some of these other, like you said, emergency food stamps and things of that nature, because people will be able to sustain their own health benefits through the benefits that they would receive by having a better job. They can buy their own groceries because they're now earning a better wage. So, yeah, it's awesome. When, like I said, justice, again, it affects the larger picture. Whereas when we just put a Band-Aid using, you know, and like I said, charity is a good thing. It really is. We're not against charity, but we're just trying to help so that we don't have to, you know, that need is not always there. People can be self-sufficient.
All right. Our guest today, again, Dorothy Jordan, co-president of IMPACT, Bob Gross, a board member, talking about IMPACT, what it does, some of the conversation as to its importance and how it fits into our culture and society. We have a caller on line two. Hey, caller, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Your question or comment for our guest?
My comment.
Okay.
Okay. I am commenting on the individual who claimed not to know about the CNA program at KTEC. I am a former member of the county teaching community, and I also happen to have been a KTEC, very briefly, nursing instructor. The nursing assistant program, CNA program, is very, very well publicized in the county and city schools in Fluvanna, in Albemarle, in the city of Charlottesville, in Greene, Madison, and not Buckingham, but it pulls from a lot of the counties around. They are offered as exploratories. The course, the CNA course, is offered as a 6-week exploratories to ninth grade students. And the guidance counselors at all the high schools mention this possibility to all the students, male and female. So either this person is, one, not from this area, or two, she wasn't paying attention, or he wasn't paying attention when the guidance counselors were offering this possibility, or three, she or he is just plain telling a lie and playing the victim. Oh, I can't. I didn't know. I don't buy that. I just can't buy that.
Well, quick question, and then I'm going to let Dorothy and Bob get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever category, 1, 2, or 3, that this person falls into, does that mean that they should not receive the services of Impact in some way?
No, not at all. But I do think that we need to be, if we're going to ask for services, that we need to be honest with ourselves. The individual who's asking for services needs to be honest. And I really, really object to people playing the victim. I've seen it through the high schools, I see it on the streets every day, and I see people who are unwilling to do anything for themselves other than to take a handout and charity, as you call it. And then they cop an attitude of resentment. Oh, ain't it awful? I'm so poor. I can't help myself. I'm going to make society take care of me. So I really have an issue, particularly with the CNA issue. In my class, there were kids who were dumped in there by their counselors who had barrier crimes pending. And you can't take kids into, or any person into, a nursing home that has an assault charge pending against them. Or things of that nature. And there's no screening done very
well. Right.
Very poor.
Let's let Dorothy and Bob give some feedback on that. Thanks for the call, because I think you've taken us down a path that really needs some feedback on it. All right. Dorothy and Bob, who wants to jump in here?
I'll jump in. First of all, you know, from what I understand, the CNA program is a very good program.
Is it highly publicized?
Yes. I have... I've known people who've attended the CNA program, but as far as the individual who made the comment, I can't tell you. She's not someone who is looking for a handout, because as I stated earlier, she took it upon herself to go. She's putting herself through school. It's just a hardship to do so, but she is doing it. So I don't know how. Maybe she fell through the cracks in some way. I don't know if it was a language barrier. I don't know, you know, any of that information. But I just know she has a desire to finish, to become a registered nurse. And she's taken the next step to put herself through school to accomplish that goal. So she's definitely not someone who is just looking for a handout. I know we do have that issue, but there are people who do want the handout, but she, like I said, she is raising her child, she's putting herself through school, and it's not to take away anything from the CNA program that's at KTEC, and I thank the caller for her call and giving us an opportunity to clarify that.
All right, 11:34 on WNRN, Sunday morning wake-up call. Call up, make your point, ask your question, 979-0919. 877-WNRN rocks. Our question always applies. Bring it on. Impact, interfaith movement promoting actions by congregations together. our guest, co-president Dorothy Jordan, member of the board, Bob Gross.
And support for WNRN today comes from the markets of Tiger Fuel Company, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street.
Support for WNRN comes from Boudoir Lingerie Boutique in the Boonesboro Shopping Center, Lynchburg. At Boudoir, you can find Bridal by Jane Woolrich, Intimate Apparel by Blush, and Ooh La Cherie, plus maternity, lingerie, and loungewear. Boudoir is your dressing room and carries sizes AA to H at 4925 Boonesboro Road, Lynchburg, and VotreBoudoir.com, VotreBoudoir.com.
Hi, I'm Claire Kaplan, and my child is a student at the Park School in downtown Charlottesville. On Saturday, May 4th, we will be holding a concert at The Haven featuring performances by We Are Star Children, Sarah White, Eli Cook, and many others. All proceeds from the show benefit the Park School. Park School is a place where students in grades 5 through 12 who had hovered on the margins in their former schools will discover their passions, learn to love learning, set future goals, and achieve them. Our students receive a focused education in a small class structure. For information on our concert at The Haven on May 4th or Park School, please visit parkschoolva.org. I'm Claire Kaplan, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection at WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for listening today. We are here at WNRN Independent Music Radio, talking about impact, interfaith movement, promoting actions by congregations together. Bob Gross, Dorothy Jordan here. Bob, I think you were saying that you bring all of our area leaders together. They know what they are, what the conversation is about. There is no surprise, the goal being not to hide anything. But my understanding is that because the youth unemployment, this isn't something that was decided upon in the February or March meeting, was it? This was something that has come about several meetings ago. Mm-hmm. And my background search shows that there were a variety of organizations that did not come forth and say, we're all for this. Piedmont, I don't want to put it on specific groups because I can't do that and don't remember. I didn't write it down. But there were a couple groups that you would think would be all about education and jobs, etc., who said, it's not a bad idea, but don't know that that's the way to do it. Well, why did that happen? Do you have any understanding? Did they give constructive criticism feedback?
Well, in the same way that every congregation has a variety of opinions about what should be done and how it should be done, institutions have their own lives and their own sources of funds and their own priorities, and they don't always go in a straight line. So we have been working on and trying to find ways to deal with and find longer-term solutions for youth unemployment for a while. And we decided back last May, so almost a year ago, that we wanted to focus on the two major healthcare institutions in our community, the UVA Health Center and Martha Jefferson Hospital, because in fact, they are the major employers in this field. And so we've been in discussion with them frequently and in depth about how they might collaborate and lead the effort, which would include other agencies as well, including Piedmont Community College, and K-Tech in addressing the problem and working in a collaborative fashion. And we are seeing progress in that direction, and we are very hopeful. We realize that what we're talking about is tantamount to making a very, very large aircraft carrier change course, and that doesn't happen quickly. But we are making progress, and we're very pleased about it.
A question or a comment from our previous caller. She used the word victim. And when we talk about career success, I believe that one of the issues put forth loudly by a significant section of American culture is that career success is self-driven. And if you want to be successful, then you get up and do it. Otherwise, that's your choice, is not to be successful and not to work hard, etc. Does this fall in any way into the youth unemployment conversation?
I think it's fair to say that there's a one set of views that everything that you achieve in life is due to your own skill, your own energy, and nobody else has anything to do with it. There's another school of thought that most everything you achieve in life has to do with, in addition to your own skills, the support that you get from your community, from your family, from your schools, from your government, and from the larger private community has something to do with it. I grew up in a very poor family. I lived in a big city. I was very, very lucky. I had two parents who were very eager for me to succeed. And so I've had a modest success in my life. But if those elements had not been present, if I had not had mentors, a supportive community, and frankly, just plain good luck, then I would be at a very different place. So I think if we look at the 3,000 unemployed young people in our community, I think we would find many, many different stories. And I think we have, frankly, to figure out and be very thoughtful about what all the elements are that it really takes in order to be relatively successful in our current economy and in our current culture.
11:42 on the wake-up call. That's Bob Gross. He's a board member of Impact. Dorothy Jordan, the co-president, also with us today. I saw the phone ringing a moment ago. Call us back if you were trying to get through to the program. 877-WNRN-ROCKS. A lot going on out front with the producers. That's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Local, it's 979-0919. Let's talk about financing. Does Impact provide, in some ways, because I know that Impact has been to Charlottesville City Council, you've been to Albemarle Board of Supervisors. So when Impact has made a decision that this needs to be the focus, does Impact donate any money to the cause? Is the question for whatever the local government leadership is to take a part of the budget and put there?
Impact does not donate any money to the cause. We ask our local government to, you know, if there's, for example, with pre-K education a few years ago, we asked the local leaders, the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors and the Charlottesville School Board to put in place, you know, make sure that the monies that were there for the people who had the greatest needs. As far as Impact, again, we don't give money toward the cause. We're not set up that way.
Do you get arguments from other groups that say, wait a minute, that's our part of the budget, you know, where you're sort of, there's only a limited amount of discretionary funds out there, and are different groups with different thoughts on where the money should be spent? Is there, you know, I don't know, the word that comes to mind is fight, although that's certainly not what we have going on here, but different conversations about, no, wait a minute, I don't, that is not the place to put the money. That is not the pre-K education or youth unemployment. That's not, my topic is more important than your topic.
I don't think we have had those kinds of challenges. For example, in the current homelessness project, what we are seeking to do really doesn't involve any local money at all. Mm-hmm. What we're seeking to do is to have the various local entities, including the city and the county, who are already engaged in spending money and in trying to solve long-term some of the problems regarding homelessness, what we want to do is have them work together to coordinate their efforts, which up till recently have not been very well coordinated. We would like them to be able to maximize their cooperation, leverage the money that's available already from state and federal sources. So this is really more a matter of wiser, smarter administration. So in this case, that's what we're after. In other cases, there doesn't seem to be grounds for jealousy or turf about monies, because these are problems that either the city or the county governments or others already recognize as issues or problems or responsibilities, and we're just trying to underline and bring attention to bear on the issue.
You know, I when we talked about youth unemployment, to me that was a battle of those who might be fall outside of the category, those who might be older than 30, who are families that are having similar problems and wanted to receive any help that was available. When we start talking about homelessness, and let's talk about this for a little bit, another area of importance for Impact, another topic that Impact has put forth effort to go to the root concern and bring that forward. I think that's the phrase that Dorothy Jordan has used. But now we're talking about something that there are many in the community. Divisiveness. You go to the downtown mall. The Haven is on the downtown mall. Charlottesville's homeless shelter, for those who aren't familiar with that, just off the retail spot of Charlottesville's downtown mall. And you have business owners sort of not looking at it from a religious, let's help others sort of way, but saying, I mean, there have been court cases, or at least one court case brought up about, get these people off the mall. Tell me about that, because now you're not talking about, and turf war was a great way to put that, Bob. You have other people and their businesses seemingly arguing with Impact or others who are trying to be helpful in one way, saying, I don't care how you help them, but get them out of my eyesight.
I've read, you know, several news articles and heard this story on the news that you're referring to with the people on the downtown mall. And our quest, as far as Impact is concerned, is to help these people to have a place to go so that they're not on the mall. But currently, what's happening is if you move them off the downtown mall, they're just going to go somewhere else. And then somebody's going to say, well, I don't want them over here either. We're trying to work so that they will have what they need, the services that they need, because people have a lot of issues. Some of them it's mental issues, it's substance abuse. It's a variety of problems that lead to homelessness. And again, going back to the root cause, we are trying to get these entities that deal with these issues to come together to work so that not only are we providing places for them to go, to live, to sleep, places for them to eat, but services that will help them to, you know, be better understood as to, is it a, if it's a substance abuse problem, then we need to deal with this. It's a huge problem.
But when you talk about youth unemployment, you have people who just may not be signing up to be helpful and supportive with you. When we start talking about homelessness, it seems as though you have other organizations or groups who are effectively battling against what you're trying to do. Am I wrong with that, Bob?
Well, let me just list the we're calling for the city and the county to establish what we call a round table, which will be a coordination effort among these various agencies. And what we want them to do all together with the leadership of the city and the county is to establish some common goals with timetables to reduce the number of people who are homeless in the community, which does not now exist. Right now we're doing mercy. We're doing charity, short term, one night, two nights. But we would like an ongoing long-term plan. And we want this to be a cooperative strategy among the different agencies. Right now, there's less cooperation than there could be. We want to have there be a common information system among all these agencies so that one person who applies for some help doesn't have to tell his or her story five, six, seven different times. And we want those agencies to share that information. Those are some of the pieces that have to be built in.
Again, we are talking with Bob Gross and Dorothy Jordan, representing the group Impact, Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. 27 different religious faiths come together to work on local social injustices in our area. Have you found that as our culture seemingly becomes less religious? I mean, whatever your belief in statistics, we always hear that fewer people go to church, whether or not you believe in God or believe in Christ or have a Bible in your home, there's a smaller percentage in 2013 United States of America than were in 1980 or 1960. Do you have to work through a more difficult government because of this? Because government represents the current, theoretically, the current population of our country?
Yeah, we're 27 congregations that are people of faith. Our faith calls us to do justice. But I think sometimes it's perceived as because of religion, you know, we should be quiet. And it's the opposite of that. You know, people say, well, the church doesn't do enough. The church should be doing this, or the church should be doing. And then when the church steps up to do, you get, well, you need to stay in your place. You need to go back into those four walls.
Don't put your religion on me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not what we're trying to do. I'm not out to try to convert you or anybody else to become religious. There's an issue. There's a problem that is wrong in this community. And we are here to help bring it to the public so that we can get the solution to the problem. You don't have to be religious to do that. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a Muslim. You don't have to be a Jew. You just have to me, you just have to have a heart. You just have to have a heart.
I love that. Thank you. Dorothy Jordan, co-president of Impact. 1154, just a few moments left. 979-0919, 877-WNRN Rocks.
Support for WNRN comes from Commonwealth Restaurant and Sky Bar, 422 East Main Street on Charlottesville's downtown mall, serving dinner and drinks in the bar or at the Sky Bar overlooking the mall. Commonwealth is available for private parties and serves brunch on Sundays. For more information, it's CommonwealthSkyBar.com.
And WNRN's support of local music includes 2 hours of the best local and regional artists and bands. Join the volunteer host, Jess Martin, Tuesday nights at midnight for WNRN's Locomotive. Discover the best local music, WNRN's Locomotive, Tuesdays at midnight, brought to you by Far Downers. All right, back to our guest, Dorothy Jordan and Bob Gross. You know, one of the things I always want to make sure to toss in here, I said it at the very beginning, the free dental clinic. I don't understand how, regardless of your faith, regardless of non-faith, your argument against the homeless need in this area and whether we should help or not, whether you're a victim or go looking to support yourself in terms of youth unemployment, the free dental clinic. How in the world can anybody argue against this? Who wants to step up and talk about this for a minute for those who are unfamiliar with this?
I agree with your overall perception, but I agree also that there are other things which I ask myself, how can anybody object to this? Actually, the free dental clinic existed prior to our involvement, of course, but it was very small, and it had a very, very large backlog. It serves people who, adults who are not able to afford emergency dental care. But there was a backlog of, I think, over 1,000 people. The waiting list was enormous because they had very little funding and they had a limited amount of volunteer dentists who were able to provide services. So when we came along, we were able to be persuasive enough to help bring in some support, I think, from the UVA Medical Center and others to add some money to the free dental clinic's budget and to help push a little more volunteer support, professional volunteer support. So the dental clinic increased its ability to serve, cut down its waiting list significantly because of the additional monies and additional pressure and additional volunteerism. So that is not totally taken care of, but there has been a significant increase in the services that the free dental clinic can provide, and we are delighted to have had some role in helping to make that happen.
Another successful, I keep wanting to use the word proposition, but the success of Healthy Transitions, mostly a seemingly a mental health campaign for folks who, whether they were out of prison or some other need where they were sort of said, here you go, things are over, and here's 30 days worth of medication, best of luck. Mm-hmm. And with the help of Impact, this actually received notoriety of success from professors in outside of our area, from the, I believe, the Richmond police area, because it not only helped the individual in terms of keeping medication for, come on, people, if you take any sort of prescription drug, you know that 30 days and then having to pay for it all on your own is not going to work. And then it also helps the community because oftentimes once your 30-day prescription is up, you fall back into a negative path. Mm-hmm. Is that still successful? Is that still ongoing?
Yeah, so far as we know, the what our role was the following, as I understand it. Dorothy, please correct me if I'm wrong. There was an anonymous donor who helped to fund that project in its first year, but then they were in danger of having to stop because there was not additional money. So our approach was to ask as assertively as we could, both the county and the city, to share the cost of supporting that project. This was, in fact, for people who were leaving prison and who, many of whom needed medications and other kinds of counseling to maintain their new status outside of prison. And that has been successful. And to my knowledge, the city and the county continue to provide very modest support, but important support for those folks.
You're good.
All right. Again, as we finish up here, www.impactseville.com. That's Interfaith Movement Promoting Actions by Congregations Together. Our guest, Dorothy Jordan, she's a co-president of Impact. Bob Gross, a board member of Impact. And tomorrow night, the Nehemiah Action. Real quick, Dorothy, time, place, and in exactly short words, what's going to happen?
Okay. Time, 6:30 tomorrow evening. Place, John Paul Jones Arena. What's going to happen? We are going to be presenting our solutions to our local leaders to so that they can publicly commit to taking on the task that we will be presenting.
And everybody is welcome.
Yes.
You don't have to be a member of one of these 27 churches.
No. No.
Bring your friends, relatives, whoever. We want as much support on behalf of these propositions as possible.
All right. Thank you both so much for being here.
Thank you, Rick.
Impact, whether or not you're religious, it's certainly a key part of our community. Next week, Josh Wheeler will be here. We'll be talking about the muzzles. We'll be talking about keeping your First Amendment rights. Thank you.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com. or wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Angie Cruz. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.